back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point, more broadly, is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome back in, everyone, to our interview booth here at the 2024 Arizona Tennis Classic. Joining me here on Tuesday morning is our first man through to the main draw from qualifying. Of course, you all know him as the current world number 136. I know him as Terrence Atman. Terrence, thank you for taking the time
welcome,
to join
man.
Us here on in our interview booth. Let's talk first today's match. You get a three-set victory over a guy who I am sure you spent some time growing up watching in David Goffin. Talk me through the match. What was working so well for you today?
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, first of all, playing this kind of player in a qualifier for a challenger is
pretty crazy.
Yeah. And having myself in qualifier is also crazy, to be honest. So, yeah, well, it wasn't easy at all because, David is playing amazing tennis. So I was just, you know, trying to have some fun there on court. I know, like, this tournament is to prepare Miami. So I tried to step on court, like, trying to have some fun, trying to prepare as much as I can the next tournament. But you know, you always want to win, you always want to do like great things. So yeah, well, I'm super happy with the performance today, and hope that I can do the same tomorrow.
Yeah, it was impressive. I'm curious your thoughts on this Phoenix event more broadly. I know you've only been here for a few days, but you mentioned the draw. I mean, the cutoff to get in was 87. So yeah, I think that's pretty good. What have you thought about the conditions, the country club? And curious what brings you to Phoenix. Why was this the right event for you?
Well, first of all, it's the first time for me to come. I mean, one of the first time that I come to US,
okay.
And the first time for me in Phoenix. So, well, the club is just amazing.
It's not like this everywhere, I swear.
I know. I played some challengers. Trust me, it's not the same everywhere. So, well, but here, like, the conditions are crazy, and there's like a lot of people. Surprisingly, for qualies, for matches, conditions are pretty good. Good balls, good courts. And yeah, I'm really enjoying my time here, and hope that I can go for more. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said first time here in the States. Why was this trip the right time for you? Why was it the right moment? Indian Wells, now Miami. Was it very ranking centric, or was
exactly?
It just,
okay. It was really about the ranking. You know, because 2 years ago, my ranking was about like 1,000 or 900 in the world, so I had like no opportunities for me to play these Masters, to play these challenges. So. Well, for me, it's like a first time for a lot of things, breaking through the top 150, like end of this season, end of last season. And yeah, everything is pretty new for me. I'm trying, you know, to find my place with these top players. So, well, it's not easy because the intensity, the mental toughness is like really different from challengers in ATP. But you know, I'm improving every day. I'm trying to do my best on court, off court as well. I try to improve a lot of things. So, well, yeah, I'm super happy, and hope that I can reach the level of David one day, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you used the term mental toughness, because I have a stat for you, and I'm curious your reaction to it. Today was your 88th match of the last 52 weeks. Now, I am no mathematician, and I apologize for swearing, listeners. That is a fuck ton of matches. Like, there's just no other way of saying it. 88 crazy, in 52 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that just because you're trying to build that ranking? And just how does the body hold up after that much tennis over that time?
Well, I'm a bit crazy mentally. So,
yeah.
So well, but you have to be crazy to be in this level, to be to play tennis even. So.
Sure.
Well, 52 weeks, 88 matches. Well, what I have to say is that, well, I have to beat the ranking. I have to build the ranking. I have to win some matches to pass through like these steps. So it requires a lot of matches, a lot of tournaments, a lot of big tourneys as well, because I played a lot of tournament outside of Europe, outside of my home. I haven't been home for almost 6 months. So, well, it's not easy every day, let's say, but I mean, when you have a goal and when you have, well, let's say the opportunity to reach that goal, I think it doesn't really matter in the end. So I'm just trying to step on court and being better than the previous day, being better than the previous match, the previous tournament, and yeah, just trying to go for it and do what I have to do. And then let's see.
Well, it's obviously working. A couple of challengers titles for you, obviously, at the end of last fall. Now you've qualified here for this 175K. You mentioned not being home in 6 months. That's crazy to me. And I'm just curious, A, you know, what's the most difficult part about that for you? Let's just start there. What, being away for that long, is it, I had a moment, I was on the road for six straight weeks covering events. The fourth week, my bed was faced a different direction than the first 3 weeks. I woke up in a panic one night. I was like, I didn't even drink tonight. I'm not in my room. Like, something else is going on. What's the most difficult part for you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of difficult parts, you know. I mean, usually people see, like, only the good sides, you know, of traveling, everything, but it's not really the reality. The reality is tough. Players are tough, so you have to be tough and tougher. So, well, I mean, I'm missing my family, obviously, my cats, my dog, my Pokemon collection, not my girlfriend. So,
I'd love to hear that. Well, is it helpful for you? Because, and this is a two-part question about French men's tennis, but just here this week, you've got so many different guys. You know, Benoit's obviously here, and Arthur is here. I could, Luca is here. Like, you could, there's a lot of French speaking going on right now. How helpful is it to have that big of a French men's contingent, I suppose, alongside of you?
Well, it's better. It's better. I mean, tournaments are going fast, because usually we all go in dinner together. We're doing like some stuff together. For example, I have a really good relationship with Constant. Lestienne, we play a lot of chess together. Arthur is my best friend for a while. So, well, obviously, I know pretty much everyone. Everyone knows me as well as a French player. So, well, it's easier. Let's say the trips are not long. Let's say, because I've been to China for 2 months.
Yeah,
I was almost the only European guy there. It was like crazy long.
No, I can only imagine. Yeah, you're like, can I just have a conversation with someone today, please?
Exactly,
it's just like, I'm looking for a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned you and Arthur. Obviously, he has had an unbelievable start to his 2024 season.
Crazy.
And, you know, it's not just him. Luca's a top 100 guy. Arthur Fee, now a top 30 guy in the world. And obviously, it's not just those guys who have had the main profile success. You've won a couple of challengers of late. Anyone who watches Giovanni Paracard play, you're like, I'll take all 6'8" of him. I'm just curious, what's going on right now? What's in the water in France? Why does it all seem to be clicking so well?
Well, I think between us, like French players, we're like pushing ourselves, pushing the others. So when someone is doing good, we want to do good as well.
Yeah.
To a little bit to show, you know, to show him that, you know, me too, I can do it, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, it's really helpful for us, you know, to have like these guys like Arthur Fils, top 30, Luca, top 75, Arthur, top 75 as well, myself, top 150, Harold Mayo as well, top 150, Giovanni Impecci was going to break top 100 really soon, like, obviously, and then, a lot of other good players, you know, so, yeah, it's really good. I'm really happy about that generation of French guys, and hopefully that I can make through as well, like these guys. So we're going for it now.
Absolutely. I love that you have three Arthurs too: Fee, Cazot, and Rinderknecht.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
You got to separate who is who, distinguish very clearly.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like it. I should have done it as well. I'm curious, for the listeners who don't know as much about your game, we got the chance to watch that Goffin match. Who taught you your service motion? And, like, have you put the stopwatch on where it's like, oh, half a second, that one was even quicker. Just, like, it's such a fast release. I guess, why?
Yeah, it's like, the only guy on tour who got the same motion as me is Lloyd Harris.
Yeah, sure.
And before, we had a little bit of Ivan Izevich as well.
Sure.
Was doing that a little bit. But well, you know, I'm not a really powerful guy, mm-hmm. but I'm really explosive and really fast.
Yeah.
So the thing is that when I was 14, 15, mm-hmm. I was talking with my coach and I was like, my surf can reach like more than 180, mm-hmm. 185. I was like 15. I was surfing good at the time.
Yeah, sure.
Still, but you know, I wanted to surf like bombs, you know. And mm-hmm. and one time with one of my coach, we decided to know like, let's try like to go fast, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And we tried to go fast on everything. So the first couple of months, I was missing every single thing.
Okay.
Like every single ball. And after a few months, you know, I take a little bit of weight on the shoulder. I was a little bit more confident with my game. So, you know, I just like keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Then I adjust a little bit with the time, with the power, and I worked a lot on my explosivity on the motion. So, well, now I mean, I think on tour I'm like top 10 with the aces this season.
Yeah.
Or something. So, well, I think it's working for me, yeah. And you know, it's tough for the opponent to read the serve,
mm-hmm.
because I tried to do like the same toes,
mm-hmm.
but it's going fast, you know. So it's really tough to read. And okay, sometimes when I don't touch the ball at the right angle, the ball can be missing like this.
Sure.
And sometimes I look at myself, I'm like, I want to go out of the court. but you know, when it goes in, like some games, I can do like 3-4 aces in a row.
Sure.
You know, so it's a little bit the same motion as Ben Shelton.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ben is more, how do you call that? He got, you know, more power.
Yeah, it's
than,
more leg-centric, maybe.
You know,
sure.
He's more on the power than the speed.
Yeah.
Me is the opposite. So we have the same rhythm, but him is like more with the power,
mm-hmm.
because he got like strong muscles, strong legs, strong shoulder. Me is only with the fast, with the wrist, with the shoulder, with the elbow, with everything. So mm-hmm. it's different, obviously, from other players, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty unique and I like it.
I loved watching it today as well. And you mentioned it, like that first serve, that first strike, playing quickly. That seemed to be the theme, and it seems to have been the theme of late. I'm curious if that has been the focus for you as you try to make that transition towards the top 100. Just has it been a focus on the first strike, and if so, why?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I try to stay focused on the first shots.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's like where I'm the most efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So then after, I also try to do like some rallies. You know, I also try to play smart.
Mm-hmm.
When I qualified for Australia, I played against Daniel,
mm-hmm.
and when I won the first set, you know, I was just trying to play smart because like this guy was like everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and it was impossible for me to play in three shots, like impossible,
mm-hmm.
and. I was like, you know, like let's try to play a little bit more small, like short angles, then short cross coming to the net.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to develop also like another part of my game,
mm-hmm.
which is playing a little bit more smart, mm-hmm. let's say. And yeah, but also without forgetting the basics of my game, which is like the speed, explosivity and power. So yeah, I tried to be as aggressive as I can.
Yeah.
And if I have to play smart, you know, I have to play smart, you know, what can I do about it?
No, absolutely.
So.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Daniil because I wanted to ask about his comment about you. Look, in this interview, I can tell, very well spoken, and you can do it in multiple languages. Je parle un peu français, mais je ne comprends pas.
Pas de souci. On peut faire aussi en français, moi, il y a vraiment aucun problème.
Well, on that theme, that's what I wanted to ask. I think Medvedev said 148 was the IQ or something crazy like that.
158.
Yeah, 158. So that's pretty good. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah,
is it the chess? Is it, you know, again, I'm curious how that book smarts translates in tennis, because almost it feels like in this sport you can be too smart, you can start to frustrate mm-hmm, yourself, mm-hmm. you can overthink things. Do you find yourself experiencing
that? Well, yeah, obviously. I think I'm not the calmest guy on tour, so well, but you know, it's tough for me also, this kind of things, having like a really high IQ, because I'm thinking in another way than usual people and average people. So, you know, I'm thinking differently. So, for example, the things that will affect me a lot will not affect someone in general, you know. So, well, sometimes when I'm missing a forehand, I have like crazy reaction, but for me, it's like the craziest miss of the year. And sometimes, you know, my coach is like, but you know, it's like still 15-40. I like two break points. It's easy. I said, no, but it's impossible for me to miss that, you know. So, obviously, is really helpful as well, because I can go through some situations that I'm like, okay, you know, Terrence, like, go, you do this, and everything is going to be fine. And about chess, I started to learn last week.
Yeah, okay.
Playing chess.
Okay.
So, and everyone's telling me, oh, you have like crazy level. Like, yeah, but like as soon as I learn something, it's stuck in my head.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I like to do a lot of things also outside of court. So, mm-hmm. yeah, obviously it's helping me to stay focused on the tennis, doing a lot of things because I cannot get really bored, you know. I get bored really easily, so I have to do something else. I have to do like a lot of stuff. So, but when I'm on court, I try to think only on my objectives, you know, on what I have to do. Mm-hmm. So it's really helping me. And yeah, sometimes I can get frustrating. Of course, I'm human. I'm not a robot. So
sure.
I think that I will always be like this, and I have to deal with that my whole career. So yeah, let's see how it goes.
I love it. I always like to joke around when people compliment my ability to find stats. They say, yeah, it's a brain for curing cancer. I just really like tennis. And so,
yeah.
you know, again, I like
yeah,
to think,
exactly.
well, welcome to the club,
yeah,
my friend.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Tennis is the best therapy ever.
Yeah, 100%. Well, then my last two questions for you. Let's just start goals, 2024. You're obviously approaching the top 130, top 100 is on the horizon. Is it as simple as let's crack the top 100 this year? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, well, I'm not really thinking about ranking because for me, ranking it will be a consequence of what I'm doing on court. So the only goal that I have is just I'm trying to be a better player and a better person than the previous day, obviously. And yeah, if I have to talk about ranking goals, I want to be as fast as I can main draw for ATP 250s.
Sure.
So it's going to help me a lot. I mean, I have no points to defend till end of July because I started last season. I was like 400.
Yeah.
So obviously I was playing 25K.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different points, different
sure.
points, different money. So, you know, I'll just, trying to do my best and let's see, hopefully I can break the top 100 real soon. And then the top 75 real soon and top 50 by the end of the year. Why not? You know, I have to play some crazy goals, you know, cause I'm a bit crazy mentally. So I like to have crazy challenges, you know, so. Mm. Well, if I don't break through the top 50 end of the season, I'll be 55. I'll not be happy, but in the other end, I'll be, you know, it's like on the way, and I have to still to work on a lot of things. So yeah, I mean, we'll see with the ranking how it goes.
Yeah, we will look forward to following it all. My last question for you here, and you know, again, you mentioned the ranking there. Mm. You're kind of in the vomit zone. Like 130 is, do I play challengers? Do I go play 250 qualies? What does your schedule look like next 3 months?
But, well, I choose to go on ATP tournaments because. They change points for challengers. Now challengers are not really interesting before final for myself because the minimum of points that I have is 7. So even if I make a semi-final, I'm at 15 points.
Yeah, so you get 8.
Which is like I'm going to do like 129, 127.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not a good choice. And I choose ATP Tour because I wanted to face these guys, these top guys, getting the rhythm of the ATP. And well, ATP is the will be the future for me, so I don't want to get stuck, you know, too long on challenges. Even if with my ranking, a lot of people will choose challenges, but in my opinion, I think that I have the level, I have the potential to be on the ATP tour. So I'm just trying to get through. I have some tough periods, of course, because I'm not winning as much as I'm winning last season. But you know, it's a long process. So.
Sure.
You know, I'm just trying to step on court on ATPs, trying to break through the top 100 as fast as I can, and trying to be a main draw of this tournament. So then as soon as I'll be main draw of this tournament, it will be way easier for me with the points. Well, fighting for 6, 13 points in qualies against good players. I mean, also ATP 500, 13, 25 points is also good points. You know, to be two guys, so Master 1000 is like almost 30 points also to pass quali. So I think for me it's a better option to go on ATP, because I think that honestly I have the potential to be there. And I mean, I have the motivation to go in there, and you know, I don't want to go back to challenges and just like fight, because obviously the guys will be the same.
Yeah.
Every player is playing good in challenges. Every match feels like a final. So challenges are really tough.
Yeah.
People don't really realize, but I mean, I'm playing qualies in Arizona in Phoenix against David Goffin. I don't know. I don't know if if I can say this one day to my children, say, you know, in the Challenger event, I played David Goffin in the qualies. Yeah. This guy's like top 100. I'm 135.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm almost not seated in qualies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Chet Menger is like almost 75. So I'm like, what is happening here? So, well, yeah. So, no. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, as I said, I also have no points to defend, so it helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. I can go there, ITPs. I can lose some first round. I don't really mind, you know, as long as I'm taking the rhythm, playing with these guys all day, every day, practice sets, matches, getting the rhythm. So, for me, it was a good option. Yeah, I think it's the best option for me right now.
No, I love to hear it. When your kids ask you, say, yeah, I beat them in final round, and then you go, qualify. Just whispered, yeah, very quietly, and they won't hear that. But, no, sincerely, obviously, congratulations to you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Really fun to watch you play today, and appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
All good.
This week.
All good. Pleasure is mine.